The fact of the matter is that children in this state are not in the first row of any priority setting. Everybody loves children. Everybody pats them on the head. They talk about children are the future. How about investing in children? It's very specific. It's not hard. The website contains all of these things. How about insisting on a quality pre-K program for the 161,000 children who are already in it? How about making sure that we have health insurance for all children? What could be more American than that? That's not a nanny state. That's not socialism. It's about what America is all about. How about investing in the fundamentals? The return on investment would be huge, and you would have far more successful citizens.
But are you suggesting more money to be invested or a better...
I am suggesting. I'm not about talking about taxes. You can talk about taxes. Other people can talk about taxes. I'm talking about elected representatives getting paid by the people to make the right decisions for the future, and now not making decisions that are particularly wise for the future if we believe that having an educated, healthy state is important. So people run for office. They say they love children. Show me you love children. Make the kind of decisions about priorities, frankly, in a different way than you have heretofore. We're a better people than that.
You had said about 800,000 children are without health insurance. And there's all these advocacy groups, yours included, Florida Kid Care, Florida Chain. You can Google it, and there's numerous advocacy groups. Why, with all of this advocacy and this grassroots movement, why are there still 800,000 children without health insurance?
This situation's not unique to Florida. You could go all over the country and you see similar situations. There is this children's group and that children's group and that advocacy group and that advocacy group. Frankly, what happens now is that they sort of get patted on the head, and we know you're on the side of the angels and so forth. We have drawn, not even counting tonight, we've drawn just in the past 9 days, 5,000 people to come and hear this message. And they've gone away energized, and they've gone away with things to do and people to call and so forth. What we hope to do is build a grassroots movement where people stand up and say, I demand that things be different. I guarantee you, if legislators heard that there is a powerful group out there demanding change, they would listen. So what have we seen in the news in the last few days? We've read about, heard about, seen Tea Party stuff. We've seen people say, boy, they're setting the agenda, aren't they? Now, you may like them and you may not like them. I'm not part of this discussion. But they sure as heck are perceived as having power. What we're trying to do, we will, before the end of this month, be in front of 10, 12, 15,000 people. And that's only the first step of what we're doing. We have a steering committee that's fully bipartisan, 12 powerful Democrats, 12 powerful Republicans, and 3 powerful independents. This is very different from what has gone on heretofore.
But still, you know, if you can defend the children's movement of Florida and what you're doing, if you can tell me what makes the children's movement of Florida and your milk parties, what makes that different? What's going to get 800,000 children finally insured?
I think I've already told you. And I was in the business longer than you were, and I know this is an unsuccessful way to do an interview. But the fact of the matter is, you cannot name another group of people that's brought thousands of people together day after day after day to talk about these things. You can't name somebody who, folks who have raised $1 million just for the first month. You can't name folks who have called for a gubernatorial debate. You can't name a group that is as bipartisan as this, with powerful people from both parties as well as independents. This is only the first phase. We'll see what the future brings. I have worked all my life as an idealistic person. I was in the newspaper business for 35 years. I was a paid skeptic, but I was not a cynic, and there is a dramatic difference between the two of them. So it's easy to be cynical. It's never been done. It can't be done. Other folks have tried, etc. I say, leave it this way, and this will be a poor state for my children, my grandchildren, and everybody else's children and grandchildren. These are issues that far transcend my time on this earth. I, in theory, could be retired. But I'm not retired, because I think not only is this God's work, but it is the frankly, the very future of this state, and we are ill prepared to compete in the 21st century.